Amen. I like that last hymn because I like how honest that hymn writer is, saying about how your heart's prone to wander and Lord, leave the Lord God you love. So many things in this world to draw away our attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in reality, everything should draw us to him in a sense of in our lives, we should allow things that would draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ, not away from him, because he's worthy of it. He's blessed. He's glorious. He's wonderful. And Lord willing, we'll talk about him again here this evening. If you take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I want to finish up these verses this evening here, Lord willing. We looked at them last week, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I'll let you get there in a second. The Bible says here, in chapter number 2, verse 12, verse 13, Paul says to the church there, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for getting us here again safely tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you continue to help those that are sick and not feeling well. I think of Miss Frances, dear God, and that fall she took. Lord, I pray, God, you continue to help her to recover health-wise, Lord. Just be with her and her husband and son and grandson, Lord. Just watch over them this evening. Lord, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for dying for my sins, and not just my sins, the sins of the whole world, dear God. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for saving me, dear God, and open my eyes to the truth. So, Lord, I ask you now this evening, Lord, that you'd clear my mind. Lord, that you'd give us exactly what we need out of your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to not just only understand it, but also apply it to our lives as you see fit, Father. Help us to have ears to hear, Lord. And so please lead, God, and direct now in all wisdom and understanding. We ask these things now in the name of your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a few words here. We sort of looked at them last week a little bit, but verses 13 and 14, one of them being chosen there in verse 13 and the other one being called, where the Bible says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says there in verse 14, just real quick, talking about how God's called us by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other greater glory to obtain than the glory that is associated with Jesus Christ. There is none, there is, brethren, I said it just a few seconds ago, there is none greater than Jesus Christ. There's no one else on this world or on this planet or in this universe that is worthy of worship and adoration than Jesus Christ. Take your Bible here, and I want you to look over at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So Paul tells the church there about being chosen, from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and of the truth. And he talks about being called. Look over here at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3. The Bible says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," verse 4, "who have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Right there is your one proof text verse to just shoot down anything that's Calvinistic. Brother, look here, you don't need 30 verses. If you're willing to acknowledge the truth of God's word, the Bible says here, Paul told Timothy, he said, "who will have all men to be saved and what? To come unto the knowledge of the truth." The Lord's not willing that any should perish. Over there in Peter. Okay, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He didn't come into this world just to save a select few sinners, and the rest are damned because that's the way he set it up from the beginning. No, the Bible makes it plain and clear here in chapter 2, verse number 4, that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And right there is where mankind runs into a problem. Because mankind, if they're going to be saved, they're going to have to acknowledge the truth. That's where the problem comes in. Most people do not want to acknowledge the truth. I'll tell you why, because we read it there in 2 Thessalonians. But take your Bible real quick and flip over to John chapter number 3. John chapter 3. We read there in 2 Thessalonians, is verses 7 through 13, that people don't come to the truth because they love their unrighteousness, they love the pleasure of their sin, and they don't want to come to the truth because if they come to the truth, they know God is going to deal with them about their sin. But they love their sin. Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse number 16. The Bible says here, probably one of the most popular verses in all the world, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," not just the select few, whosoever "believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you acknowledge the truth of who you are and what he did for you, and you place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You'll have eternal life. Because look what verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," who? Through Jesus Christ, "might be saved." Now here's where we run into issues. Everybody loves to quote John 3:16, but they don't read on down to verse 21. Verse number 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Most men will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. Most men will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in truth because they love the deeds that they commit because they're evil. They don't want to come to the light because if they come to the light, their deeds are going to be made manifest. Their deeds are going to be shown that they're evil, they're wicked, and they're in need of a Savior. People don't like being called a sinner. But that's what we are. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth," look at the Bible says, "but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." People that want truth and want the Lord Jesus Christ, they're willing to come to that light and let that light of the Lord Jesus Christ show them what they are. But as you come to the light, you see what you are, but then you also see what Jesus Christ has provided for you. You come to that light and you see that you're a sinner. But thank God, that's not the end of the road. The Lord just doesn't bring this to your attention and say, "Hey, you're a sinner." He also shows you the Savior, the one that can take away and wash away your sins through his blood. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The Bible said over there in Timothy that who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. Look what the Bible says here. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all," there's that word again, A-double-L, "he died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So the question again this evening, similar to what we looked at this morning, who are you living for this evening? If you're saved, are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ or are you living for yourself? Paul tells the church here, he says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." It's not your life no more. It's his life in you. And he says, but unto him which died for them and rose again, you should live towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." To who, brethren? To those who are in Christ. That's very important there in verse number 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus." If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. I'm going to get somewhere with that in Christ. Verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. So how are you reconciled? You're reconciled by Jesus Christ. You receive that reconciliation when you are put in Christ Jesus. So if you are now in Christ Jesus, you are now reconciled to God the Father. If we would have kept reading over there in 1 Timothy, it says, for there's one mediator between God and man. There's one go-between. There's one go-between between God the Father and mankind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Mary, it's not the Pope, it's not a denomination, it's not a church, it's Jesus Christ. And you can almost put it this way, Jesus Christ bridged that gap between us and the Father. Adam sinned way, way, way back there, and he caused our spirit to die, but Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, and right now it's as if he has the Father in this hand, grabbed the hold of the Father, and in this hand is outstretched to mankind. He's not willing that any should perish. Grab a hold of his hand, get in Christ, and you're now reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. He is your reconciliation. He is the one that reconciles you. And now, brethren, now that we're in Christ and we're reconciled by Christ Jesus, look what we have to do now, verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, what? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, brethren, once we're in Christ Jesus, those trespasses cannot be imputed to us anymore. They cannot be put to our account anymore. They can't be imputed to us because Christ Jesus forgave us of all trespasses and sins, and we're now in him. The law has no more power over us in a sense because we have fulfilled the law in Christ Jesus. Those sins, those trespasses can no longer be imputed towards us. The Bible says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know our ministry today, brethren. If we're saved, our ministry is to go out here into this world, do the Father's will, and in doing the Father's will, hopefully be ambassadors telling this world that they need to be reconciled to God. We have the ministry of reconciliation, to tell sinners that they're sinners in need of a Savior, but then to also tell them that Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we read there in chapter 5, verse 17, that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So the key is, like I said last week, it's not a matter of being predetermined before the world began of those that would be foreordained to spend eternity in hell and those that would be foreordained to spend eternity in heaven. No, God has established from the very beginning that those that would be in Christ Jesus will be justified, called, reconciled, and saved, those that are in Christ Jesus. Now take your Bible, look back over at 2 Thessalonians again. Chapter number 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says here, chosen, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and of the truth. So who or how is one chosen? Well, if you're, like I said earlier, if you're in Christ Jesus, then you're chosen. Why? Because Christ Jesus was the chosen one of God. Take your Bible, look over at Luke 23. Look at Luke 23 and look at verse 35. So my point is this, if you're in Christ Jesus, then you're chosen. You're chosen of God. Why? Because Christ Jesus was the chosen of God. Look at Luke chapter 23 and look at verse number 35. Luke 23 and look at verse number 35. Luke 23:35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. This is when Jesus is hanging on the cross, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ. Look what the Bible says, the chosen of God. Christ, the Messiah, was the chosen of God. Take your Bible, look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse number 4. Christ, the chosen of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse number 4. Ephesians 1, 4. Look who we're chosen in. Ephesians chapter 1, and verse number 4. Actually, let's look at verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Talking about chosen. Bible says in Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There it is again, in Christ. You're blessed with those blessings if you're in Christ. According, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us, how? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. If you are in Christ Jesus, you now are an adopted child of God. If you're in Christ Jesus. This goes hand in hand with over Romans, flip over to Romans chapter 8 real quick, this adoption. Look at Romans 8 and verse number 15. Romans 8, 15. If we're in Christ Jesus, it had been predetermined that those that are in Christ Jesus would be the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, to God the Father. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As Gentiles, if we're now saved today, we now have the spirit of adoption whereby we can now cry out to our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father. He's now our Father. We are now His Son. How? In Christ Jesus. Nothing we've done on our own. It's all what Christ Jesus did for us. But when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get saved, we are now placed in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is now placed within us, and we are now reconciled to the Father, and we are now adopted sons of God, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Verse 17, and if children, or verse 16, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We're heirs. We're heirs with the Father because we are now in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible. Look over at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 9. Listen, brethren, this was all established. This was all, I said it last week. At this thing, what happened with Adam and Eve did not catch God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit but off guard up there in heaven. This thing was established, this thing was preordained before the foundation of the world that those that would be in Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what he would have to do at some point in history, at some point in time, that he would have to become a man, he'd have to be born of a virgin, he'd have to live a sinless, perfect life, and he'd have to die on the cross and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. He knew that before this world was ever even created. He knew it. And it was preordained, it was foreknown by God that those that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when God the Father would send out the call, I believe, to all mankind of their need of a Savior, of their need of their sins that have separated them between them and their God, their conscience also bearing witness, whether accusing or else excusing them, that they need a Savior. They need to be made right with their God. And their sins have separated them. And God, we're going to see it. God sends out the call, but we realize that many people don't pick up the phone. nor do they not want to see the phone. Actually, they throw the phone away. So let me ask you this question, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just hang on. Let's look at this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. Actually, we'll start in verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Here we go. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, here it is again, in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. We now have the life. We now have immortality to the light. Through what? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, everybody that's born into this world has an immortal soul. Once you're born into this world, you have a soul, and that soul will never die. It'll spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. It'll either spend eternity with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit there in heaven, or it'll spend an eternity separated from God in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire. But if you come to Christ Jesus, he has abolished death, and he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But I wanted you to see there at the end of verse number 9, it says, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If you get in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, the Bible says, flip real quick, it says, chosen you to salvation, how? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So how are you saved? How are you chosen to salvation? It's through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Here we find in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Jesus Christ is made unto us a number of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse number 30. So we're chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That word sanctification, we read it this morning. It means the act of making holy, in an evangelical sense, the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from the sin in the world and exalted to a supreme love of God, made holy, the act of making holy, sanctification. How are we sanctified through the Spirit? How are we made holy? But through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse number 30. But of him, or here it is again, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to glory in something this evening? You glory that you are now in Christ Jesus. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, God hath made him unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have all of those things in Christ Jesus. Brethren, there's no excuses for us. Please realize this evening, there is no excuses for believers, particularly in the United States of America. We have been given and we have in our hands the whole counsel of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have wisdom and guidance through his word. There's no excuses, particularly for believers in the United States of America, to walk and to do those things that are pleasing to our Savior. He has made unto us wisdom. He has made unto us righteousness. He has made unto us sanctification. And he's made unto us redemption. Brethren, we have all we need in Christ Jesus. You need wisdom? Come to Christ Jesus. You need sanctification? You need to be made right and a more holy and pure life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to him, and he can sanctify you, and he can set you free. Take your Bible here and look over at Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. sanctified by the Spirit, or sanctified through the Spirit, and belief of the truth. Look at Acts 26 and verse number 18. Acts 26, 18. Paul finishing up his life here towards the end. Look what Paul tells them here in Acts chapter 26, verse number 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, how? By faith that is in me. Jesus Christ said that they are sanctified by faith that is in him. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you place your faith and trust in him, you are now sanctified by the Spirit. Take your Bible, look over again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Say, there's a lot of Bible turning, a lot of looking at Scripture. Well, that's where we need to be and see what the Bible says about what we have in Christ Jesus. Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, referring to sanctification. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. But unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, here it is again, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that all, with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me read that again. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Again, there you see that little phrase again, in Christ Jesus, sanctification. Sanctified, where? In Christ Jesus. Last one I want to show you here. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible right here. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Remember what Jesus Christ was made to us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Look what the Bible says here now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Here it is again. In him. I don't know how many times, brother, you go through your New Testament, particularly Romans through Philemon. If you mark up your Bibles, I don't know how you do it, or if you write it down in a notebook somewhere, especially the book of Ephesians as well, every time marked that says, in him, in Christ Jesus, you'll be amazed how many times it said that phrase, in him, in Christ Jesus. Because you are made the righteousness of God in him. Brethren, I said this before. When you get saved, Christ Jesus is in you, and you are now in Christ Jesus. And I gave this illustration a while back. I've heard this illustration. It was in a National Geographic. Pastor Doss back home used to say it all the time. But you have this thing with shepherds. And they actually had this picture in a National Geographic of a farmer skinning a baby lamb. And as he skinned that baby lamb, he takes the skin of that baby lamb that had died, and he takes that skin of a baby lamb that had died, and the Bible, or the picture in the National Geographic shows this shepherd stretching the skin of the dead lamb over the alive baby lamb. And what had happened was, is that you had a mama sheep over here, and you had a mama sheep over here, and both of them are lambs. And this mama over here died, and this one over here, the lamb died. So on this side, you had a mama that had a dead lamb. And over here, you had a live lamb that had a dead mother. So what that shepherd did is he said, if I can get this live lamb over here who no longer has a mother, if I can get over here to where this mother sheep over here, this mother lamb would take him, he'll live. But the problem is when he took that live lamb and brought it over to this other sheep, she had just lost her lamb, she wouldn't accept it. She smelled it, she realized it wasn't hers, and she started to kick at it and would have nothing to do with it. So what the shepherd did is he took that dead lamb over here that had died, that didn't make it, he took its skin off and then he stretched it over the skin of the live lamb. And he brought it back over to this mama, and when she smelled it that time, she smelled her own, and she received it. That's the same thing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we are now in Christ Jesus. He is now in us. And when the Father looks at us, he no longer sees us, but he sees his Son and what his Son did for us. Just like when that baby lamb comes over now to this mama lamb, that's not his mama. Her lamb has died. She won't accept it because it's not hers. But when she smells the coat of hers, that the lamb that was hers, she accepts it. When Jesus Christ, or when the Father looks down at us, he sees what Jesus Christ did for us and how his blood washed away our sins. And we are now made the righteousness of God in him. We're sanctified through the Son. To what? The belief of the truth. Do you desire to believe the truth? One thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit bears witness both to the Word of God and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness to not only the Word of God, but he bears witness to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Lowercase w, capitalcase w. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 16. John 16, and look at verse 13. To the belief of the truth. Set over there in 2 Thessalonians, from the beginning chosen you salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. John chapter 16, look at verses 13 and 14. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will bear witness not only to Jesus Christ, he'll glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, but he'll also bear witness to the truth of the Word of God, the Scriptures. John 17, 17, we looked at it earlier today. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 17, 19. How are you sanctified? You're sanctified, or you're made holy through the truth. And that's exactly what Paul's telling the church there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Now, as we close this out, verse number 14 says this, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is this call given? 2 Thessalonians 2, 14 says, whereunto he called you, how? By our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, brethren, you either reject or receive the call. The Lord God Almighty sends out the call. You either receive it or you reject it. And the Lord knows, like we looked at it this morning, the Lord knows the hearts of men. Thus, this may determine who he calls at certain times. Look over here at 1 Corinthians. Please bear with me as I look at these last few scriptures here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look who the Lord calls. Very interesting. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Well, who does the Lord send the call out to? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1, 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, like I read earlier, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who does God send to call out to? Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men after the flesh are called. Why? Because of their pride. Why would you send a phone call out to somebody if you know they're not going to answer it? Think about this for a moment. If I know somebody and I know if I try calling them that they're not going to pick up the phone, why would I call them back? Or why would I send a call out in the first place if I know they're not going to answer their phone? It'd be a waste of my time to try to call them. And God, who knows the hearts of all mankind, this may dictate sometimes when God will send a call out, or sometimes he won't send a call out because he knows their chances are they're not going to pick up that phone. They're not going to pick up the phone and answer that call. I'll show you what I mean. Take your Bible. As we close out here, look at Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 4. Isaiah 66 and look at verse number 4. Isaiah 66 verse 4. In verses 1 through 3, the Lord says who he desires to reach out to. And it says in verse 2, to the man, this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. But look what the Lord says in verse number 4. Isaiah 66, look at verse 4. Tell me this doesn't line up with somewhat there in 2 Thessalonians, the previous verses that we had read earlier in chapter 2. I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them. Look what it says. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. You see, I think that verse there goes hand in hand with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 11. The Lord says, I will choose their delusions. I'll bring lies upon them. Why? Because they rejected the truth and they had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what God says? I've sent the call out there. When I called, none did answer. He says, when I spake, they did not hear. Lord says here in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 4, I tried to reach out to them, they rejected the call, and because they rejected the call, I'm going to send them strong delusions that they believe a lie. Because God said, I tried to reach them, they didn't want to be reached. I'll give you another verse that shows the same thing what I'm talking about here in Proverbs chapter 1. Flip over to Proverbs 1 real quick. Proverbs 1. Now this is referring to wisdom that proceeds forth from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God the Father. But look what Proverbs chapter 1, look what wisdom says to us. Look what wisdom says to us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 24. Goes hand in hand with Isaiah 66 verse 4. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Kind of goes there with John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Trying to reprove you, they would have none of the reproof. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Wisdom here, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, wisdom says, I've called, I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. They didn't want nothing to do with it. Not only didn't want to do with it, they hated it. And then all of a sudden, when things start going bad, wisdom says, when things started going bad, all of a sudden, verse 28, they're calling out to me. They're trying to find me, but they're not going to be found. Wisdom's not going to be found. Why? Because they hated knowledge and not choose to fear the Lord. You see, Christ Jesus, I said earlier, came into this world to save sinners. It's not just a select few. The gospel goes out to all. But the question is, what will individuals do when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? When they hear the truth that is revealed to them, when they hear that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. What do they do with Jesus? What do they do with Jesus Christ? Flip back over as we close out here. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read this and we'll close out here. When Jesus went to that cross, Pilate looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth personified in the flesh. Take your Bible. We'll close out here. I'm just going to read this, put it all back in context again as we close up here this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start in verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you do with the truth? Have you received the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, you're now in him. He's now in you, and you are now made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that some of this made sense, dear God. Lord, I prayed some of it made sense. Lord, that you'd have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. All men, not just the select few, dear God. So Lord, I pray you'd help us to maybe go back and look back over these scriptures, dear God. Help us to grasp all that is in your word. Lord, there's so much there, Father. Help us to understand it. Please give us wisdom. Please open our eyes, dear God, to receive these things, to learn of these things, and to apply them, Father. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be an ambassador for you, Lord, to have the ministry of reconciliation. So, Lord, help us to walk in the light of it. We pray these things now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.